Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is the season when high school students across the state and the country wait anxiously to hear back from colleges and universities. After years of work, extracurriculars, and all those applications, they'll finally find out where they'll be heading next fall.
And we wish them all the luck in the world. But here's a recommendation from a growing number of college advisors and career counselors. Don't go to college next year. Now, they're not saying skip college altogether, but rather just wait a year. Put it off. Travel, work, live abroad, do something productive, but step off the academic conveyor belt.
In fact, taking a year off, a so-called gap year, between high school and college is not a new idea, but it's becoming increasingly popular and a lot more accepted across the U.S. And there's even evidence to suggest that students who take a gap year actually do better in college than students who don't. And joining us to talk a bit about that is Robert Claggett. He's a former dean of admissions at Middlebury College and a former senior admissions officer at Harvard College. And welcome to Radio Boston, Robert Claggett. Good to have you.
Thank you, Anthony. It's great to be here.
So you've done real research on how students who take a gap year actually perform when they go to college. And I want to talk to you about that. But first, tell me what you observed about these students when you were at Middlebury.
It actually applied to both the students that I saw at Middlebury and the students at Harvard over many, many years, that the students took a gap year. It was really clear that they had grown up, they had matured, they'd become more focused during their gap year. They didn't, I would say, engage in some of the kinds of first-year antics, so to speak, that mm-hmm. we see a lot of first-years involved in. And they approached their educations with just a different level of maturity that I think made all of us wonder if there could be great value in this for a much larger group of people around the country.
Well, it makes sense. It offers a chance to really take a break, to get off that academic conveyor belt for a while. But you've done actual research on how these students perform when they eventually get to college after the gap year. What did you find?
Well, what I found, and this applied just to the Middlebury students over the last 3 or 4 years, is that I wasn't surprised when I looked at it in a more crude kind of statistical way, just comparing pure GPAs of students who had taken gap years with those who hadn't. And not surprisingly, from my point of view, the gap year students did somewhat better because traditionally they come from, you know, more affluent backgrounds. They typically have come from better secondary schools and that kind of thing. But when we controlled statistically for the academic credentials that they brought with them from high school, and typically that's done in the form of an academic rating that's used by the admissions process, that, it turns out, in fact, is a very good predictor for academic performance once in college. When we controlled for that academic rating, the students who took a gap year actually still overperformed to a pretty significant degree. Hmm. It was not unusual for the Middlebury students, at least, for those students who took a gap year to have a GPA that was anywhere from around 0.15 to 0.2 higher than would have been predicted just on the basis of their academic credentials.
That's fascinating.
And what's really interesting is that positive effect actually lasts over all 4 years that they're in college. It's not something that goes away after the first year. It actually continues to have an impact.
Robert Claggett, stand by. We're talking about the so-called gap years, taking a year off between the end of high school and the start of college. We're going to get our listeners involved in this. But Meghna, I wanted to turn to you. You're a college graduate. Did you do a gap year? Did it make sense to you? What did you think?
Well, actually, I did not. And in retrospect, that's one of the most important things that I wish I had done after high school. Because, I mean, honestly, it was just a mere 8 weeks before the rat race of high school to when I started college, just that one little summer. And after the first year I had in college, academics was no problem, but it was so clear that just emotionally and as maturity-wise, as Robert Claggett was saying, I was not ready. I really did struggle through that first year. And I do think that had I just taken a year off and grown up a bit, It would have helped immensely.
Interesting. You know, Robert, I have a similar experience. I didn't take a gap year after high school. I think I was one of those students that, safe to say, I floundered during my freshman, sophomore year. Then I took a year off.
Yeah.
And, you know, to use the cliche, I think I really found myself. I switched majors. I did everything. I went back to school. And did very, very well my junior and senior years. I wish I had had the benefit of a gap year because then I would have had four full years of college rather than just two.
I think that's exactly right. And in some ways, I think in the last 10 to 15 years, the issue has become exacerbated because as the pressures on the college admissions process and the anxiety that surrounds that have increased, you know, to the point that you know, the college admissions tail has kind of come to wag the education dog in so many ways, and literally every decision that some students make during high school is driven by the impact that this will have upon, you know, the college admissions process. And as that's gotten ratcheted up over the years, I think it has caused some students to look at actually going to college as an end in itself rather than a means to an end. And some students find themselves asking themselves once they get to college, you know, why am I here? I've done everything I needed to get here. Once they get there, though, they sometimes say, I'm not really sure why I'm here except to have a good time now in my first year.
Sure.
And I think it can lead to a lot of wasted time and obviously a lot of wasted money sometimes. So I'm hoping if this momentum can catch on in the way I think it should.
Well, let's talk about that momentum, and I want to just invite our listeners into this conversation. We're learning that the gap year is an increasingly popular option for a growing number of students, and contrary to what you might think, listeners, it's not just an option available to the wealthy. There are all kinds of gap year options, including grants and financial aid, and we're going to be talking about that in a moment. But first, did you benefit from a gap year? If so, did it help you? Parents, are you encouraging your high school kids to consider it or discouraging it? Give us a call, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter and at Radio Boston. Robert Claggett is with us. He's the former dean of admissions at Middlebury College. And joining us now is Holly Bull. She's the president of the Center for Interim Programs, a New Jersey-based company that's been helping students bridge the gap year since 1980. Welcome to Radio Boston, Holly Bull. Good to have you.
Thank you very much.
So give us your perspective on this. I understand you did a gap year. What's your best argument in favor of a gap year?
Yes, actually I took two gap years. I took a year before college, and then I took a year after my sophomore year. And then I've been on the counseling end of this work for about 20 years. So I'm definitely biased on a, you know, a personal and a professional level. And I think, I mean, for me the core of this is it's that it's often the first time in a young person's life when they're really choosing something that they really want to do. I mean, ideally, they choose to take gap time, and then within this year, they're picking and choosing and owning the process. And that really is at the core of it. I mean, there's so many benefits. Like, probably the only reason I've ever heard for someone not to do this is if they're simply not interested after looking at the options. But you've got benefits. For me, for example, in my first gap year, I went off and did aquaculture research in Hawaii, thinking maybe I want to be a marine biologist. And after, I don't know, a couple of weeks of scrubbing out shrimp tanks and chatting with the scientists and, you know, getting a sense of the daily do of the work, I thought, no, this isn't for me. I don't have the patience for this. And then I moved on to another program in Greece that was academics in the field, which got me really excited about learning for its own sake. So I hit college with, I mean, basically hit the ground running with a lot more excitement and vigor, you know, than a lot of freshmen students, as you all have been talking about.
And Holly, let me ask you, and actually, Robert, I want to ask you both this. What about the idea that this is a luxury that is really only available to the wealthiest college kids? Paying for college is a strain for many middle-class families, as we know. Why put it off? Why delay getting young people into the workforce and, frankly, you know, earning to pay off those loans?
Wow. I mean, you can look at this in a couple of different ways. One is it takes an average of 5 or 6 years for people to finish college. And as you described yourself, you tend to flounder around a lot if you're not clear why you're there, what you want to focus on. So if you can get a really clear sense of that in the gap year, what you want to do or what you don't want to do, it's gonna make you a much more efficient student in college. Hmm. You're also building a resume before you even hit college. And I have so many students who are doing job-like internships, and these, by the way, could be very low cost, that gives them a better sense of something that might appeal. Plus, they have experience that they can bring to the process from college into the work world. I mean, right now you've got all these students graduating college, and they may have picked a major and still don't have a clue as to what they want to do, and they're trying to go out and get a job. I mean, if you have a student who has self-confidence, has already experienced something in a particular field, sitting in a job interview, they are going to be far more compelling. And as I said, it doesn't have to cost a lot. One of my students worked on tall ships during his gap year, and then he traveled, and then he went to college. He finished in 3 years and was, you know, starting all kinds of clubs. He was a total leader on campus. And then he came back to chat with me, and he said, you know, Holly, I can pretty much talk my way into any job.
That's a great anecdote. Robert Claggett, let me ask you the same question, a concern that this might not be suitable for all folks from all parts of the socioeconomic spectrum.
I agree with everything that Holly said, and I think there is a widespread perception that gap years are, you know, kind of the exclusive domain of more wealthy families. And I can think of lots of examples of students, certainly here at Middlebury, at Harvard as well. I mean, we've got a student here at Middlebury who came from not a particularly fancy background and who designed her own program. It takes a little more initiative and independence to do that, but she ended up spending, I think she came originally from Oklahoma, she ended up spending 4 months at a monastery in North Dakota, 4 months working for a judge in Tulsa, and then the last 4 months working in an orphanage in the Dominican Republic. And those are programs that she put together completely herself and that really didn't end up costing any money, and prepared her for the opportunity to absolutely hit the ground running once she came to college. I mean, the only kinds of students I can think of who might not be well served are those who maybe only at the end of their high school career finally began to kind of get their act together in terms of developing some academic discipline and study skills and those kinds of things.
So this is not recommended for someone who just wants to sort of break and just to kind of float at home for a year. That wouldn't be recommended, right?
I think if they wanted to get a regular job and that kind of thing, staying at home, I think that could be fine. But to sit around home watching television and eating bonbons is probably not the right approach to taking a gap year.
Yeah, and Holly Bull, same. I wanted to ask you that point. Are there people for whom you wouldn't recommend a gap year?
Well, I certainly don't recommend or push gap year on someone who's not interested. And I think sometimes parents sort of haul their children into my office. And if it's really clear that the student doesn't want to do it, I'll tell the parents. This doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I think if a student has real issues going on, you know, gap time is not therapeutic time necessarily, so that's probably not, you know, they're not necessarily going to be well served if they've got stuff they really need to focus on. Beyond that, it really, to my mind, is for anyone who's interested. And, you know, going back to the cost of this, I mean, I have a student who worked at an outdoor education school, like a mountain campus, last fall, and got housing, food, and a stipend. He had worked the summer before as well, and then he went off and worked at a fly fishing lodge in New Zealand that gave him housing and food, and then he did one program that was a splurge that was conservation work and academics in the field in New Zealand, and he got college credit for that, and then the fall program hired him on the following summer. So he had this very interesting year that he mostly paid for, and again, that gave him a lot of skills that he could use later on.
Well, Robert Claggett, Hollywood. Yeah, go ahead, Robert.
Just one other quick anecdote that I found myself thinking of as Holly was talking. I was on a panel recently in New York City with some parents and students who were involved with gap years, and one particular student who is taking a gap year right now made a comment that I think actually applies very, very broadly to high school students across the country, and that was that he said that when he graduated from high school, he said, you know, we know how to do school. But at that point, we're not so good at knowing how to do life. And I think that kind of captures the essence of what can be accomplished with a gap year.
Yeah, I agree.
Get a jump start on life. We've got a lot of listeners out there who want to chime in here. So let's go to Tammy, who's calling from Newton. Hi, Tammy.
Hi there.
You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Well, I went on a gap year program 30 years ago, long before I believe the term gap year existed. And I went on a travel study program abroad, but I was strongly encouraged not to say anything about it to the colleges when I was applying in high school, as I applied just like every other kid did. And I was wondering if that's, and the risk, the fear was that, oh, you're not going to come this September, we're not going to bother accepting you.
Interesting. So well, let's put that question to Robert Claggett. He would know. He was a former dean of admissions and also worked at the admissions office at Harvard. Robert.
Yeah, it's a good question, Tammy. I don't think there is a negative effect of somebody telling a college that they're applying to that they're thinking of taking a gap year. I think there sometimes is a perception that there could be a positive effect, that it might in fact, you know, give them a leg up in the process. It you know, at worst, it's a neutral effect. It's not something that we need to know during the application process. And I think, you know, the colleges that are trying to promote this, and there are more and more of them, and I think just about all colleges are at least accepting of the possibility of taking a gap year. We don't need to know during the application process, but I think in general it is to students' advantage to apply to college during their regular senior year in high school and not put it off until their gap year, so that they don't have that kind of hanging over their head during their gap year, and they really can focus on whatever it is that they're hoping to gain from their gap year.
Let's go to Charlene, who's calling from Watertown. Hi, Charlene.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Happy to do it.
Go ahead.
No, you go right ahead. You're on the air.
I'm a mom, and my daughter's 15. She's in high school. She goes to Lexington Teaching Academy. And I strongly disagree with the gap year because I think it's just another way of discouraging kids from finishing or even going to college. She's been on mission trips to South Africa, Dominican Republic, New Mexico, Buffalo, New York, so she knows what she wants to do. And I think high school is a time to foster an environment that helps them realize what they want to do so they don't have to wait for the end of high school to figure it out. So I don't think it's a good idea.
Not a good idea. Holly Bull, do you want to offer another idea there to Charlene?
Sure. I mean, I think it's great in high school if you can begin to get more hands-on experience. There's something, though, that I found about the gap year, this well of time that you have to follow up things in more depth and longer periods of time, that's really powerful. And the reality is that these students, when they, even if she's very focused and is ready to hit college, you know, she doesn't necessarily have to do a gap year. If she's interested in it, there are so many benefits, and it's very rare that somebody will not continue on to college.
Hmm.
Statistically, it's been proven that American gap year students are going on. So that's a very common misconception about gap year that's going to divert the child away from their, you know, further education, and it's just not so.
But Holly, let me ask you about this, and Robert too, and I appreciate the call from Charlene, because I was really digging around as best I could before this hour, looking for statistics that might sort of push back against the idea for the gap year. I didn't find much. I did find this: the U.S. Department of Education's National Center on Education Statistics did a study about 9 years ago. It found that about 7.5% of kids delayed college entry for a year. Now, the study didn't necessarily look at those kids that did a well-structured gap year. It just looked at the total population who delayed entry for whatever reason. And it did find that students who delayed college entry by a year were half as likely to complete a bachelor's degree. Yes. I mean, does that give any credence to our last caller's concerns?
If that was a study done by Johns Hopkins, they may have picked up a study that was like that. And the thing that you said that's really key here is that they weren't necessarily looking at gap year students. That's a very different pool than anyone who doesn't go on to college. You really can't compare them, because the gap year students, and I mean, anecdotally, I can tell you've worked with over 1,000 students. The company has worked with over 3,000 students, and it is really rare that they aren't going on. In fact, they're going on with more vigor. Now, there is there's statistical research done on gap year students that Carl Hagler and Ray Nelson did. They've written a book called The Gap Year Advantage, and they did research a couple of years ago. It's in another book that's supposed to come out, but what they found, their sort of high-level information here, the high-level overview were in the survey, about 90% of these students were returning within 1 year, and then the 10% who didn't had very solid reasons. Either they wanted to take an extra gap year, they had a family illness. I mean, this is a smaller pool because this is not a big field here. But what they were finding is that, again, it, just as the Brits have found, that these students are definitely doing better. And
Well, Robert Claggett, what's the best way to find out about or design a good gap year? What kind of resources are out there? I mean, Holly Bull is a resource. She's the president of Center for Interim Programs, but other ideas out there?
Yeah, there are around the country, depending upon where your listeners are living at this point, there are gap year fairs that take place during the fall and winter. I think they're pretty much ended for this season, but there are opportunities there to learn about the myriad opportunities available. There is a lot on the web. I mean, if you just Google, you know, gap year programs and that kind of thing, you'll find lots and lots of opportunities. I think some college websites, Middlebury's is one of them. If you go to the admissions webpage, there is a separate section on some of the gap year programs we're not trying to endorse any particular program, but we have lists of some of the more common programs that Middlebury students have attended. There are quite a few books. The new one that Holly mentioned is not out quite yet, but I know of at least half a dozen other books on the subject that can be found on Amazon and all the other websites. There are lots and lots of resources.
Lots of resources. Well, we've put a few of those resources, links to some of those resources and ideas on our website. So listeners can go to radioboston.org and see it right there. And go ahead, Holly Bull. Yeah, I want to try to squeeze in one or two more callers, ahead, Holly.
Very quickly, I wanted to say that if somebody is doing this research on their own and going on the web especially, do your due diligence. You can ask for alumni who've attended the specific things you want to do, the projects or the program, and definitely do that. And the question you want to ask the alumni is, you know, what was the worst aspect of this experience? Don't say, how was it? You really want to hear the worst aspects if you can. And the students who attend are the ones who'll tell you that.
Good advice. Let's go to Rosemary, who's calling from Arlington. Hi, Rosemary.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I worked for 9 years as a guidance counselor in an international school, and I had quite a bit of experience with kids going to the UK for university. One of the differences, I think, for British parents as opposed to American parents is that pretty much in the UK, university is 3 years, and most kids have secured a place in a particular area. You have to pretty much specify your major before you go. So that makes a difference, I think, because in total they'll still only be spending 4 years and be graduating by 22.
I see.
So that explains, I think, some of the less resistance that you see in the UK.
Yeah, Robert Claggett, thank you, Rosemary, for that call. It's true that across Europe, Britain, and elsewhere, the gap year much more accepted and has been for much longer. Isn't that the case?
Yes, it is.
Interesting.
Yep. Yeah. When we were starting our company in 1980, there was no term gap year. People were really unaware of it, as Tanya was commenting, you know, 30 years ago, 20 years ago. And so the people in the UK have been doing this for quite a while. They do a sort of different gap year often. They tend to do more service work and then travel. I think American students and American parents tend to be looking for more structure and support through a year like this.
Sure. Let's try to fit one more caller in at least. Jeff is calling from Arlington. Hi, Jeff. You're on the air.
Hi. I find it really interesting that there are these programs for the gap year. I took a year off from high school, between high school and college in 1981, and maybe it's just because I came from a little bit more of a blue-collar background, but I worked. I waited tables. I drove a truck for a construction company and worked at a parking garage.
And you did that to help pay for college, right?
Yeah, I mean, I took a year off because I was told you have to pay for college, mm-hmm. and the only way for me to do that was to go out and make some money and find out what it's like in the working world. And I didn't even know that there were programs for this kind of thing to be done.
Interesting. And Jeff, let me ask you: you did it because you had to do it. You were told to do it. Do you think it made you a better college student when you went back?
Without question, it made me, you know, I didn't fall into the trap of, you know, everybody sort of being away for the first time and going crazy. I had been out there for a bit. I had another year to mature and grow, and I sort of felt like I was there. I knew what I needed to do, and, you know, I got to it. I focused on my job. It was to learn. I had invested my own sweat and blood into paying for my college, and I wasn't going to waste it.
All right, Jeff. Well, thanks so much. I think we have to end it there. Robert Claggett, a former dean of admissions at Middlebury College and a former senior admissions officer at Harvard College, thanks so much for joining us today. We appreciate your help with this.
You're very welcome, Anthony. Thanks.
And Holly Bull is president of the Center for Interim Programs in New Jersey. She also has offices in Northampton, Massachusetts. Holly Bull, thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much. You're welcome.
And listeners, the conversation continues at RadioBoston.org, where you can also find web links to more information and resources about planning a gap year. Coming up, author Matthew Pearl and his new sci-fi novel about the founding of MIT. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.